It is nice, and I'm the person who stops the wonderful singing that happens. I'm the one that is here to end, to bring it into that. I do want to invite you this morning into the New Testament. It's the New Testament Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 2. This is the story. This is the story I was sharing with our children who, after this morning and meeting with them, have animated that story in so many wonderful ways that never crossed my mind until this morning. But Mark chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1, continue through verse 12. It's a translation of the Bible. It's the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition that I'm reading from this morning. But when Jesus, this is Jesus, when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And so many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And then some people came, bringing him a paralyzed man who was carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, and they were questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But at once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has come and has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up. Immediately, he took his mat, and he went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they said, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, we seek those things that we have never seen before. We seek, oh God, this morning, those things that are too amazing for any of us to imagine or even to put into words. And we pray that as your words have been spoken in our midst, that, Lord, they may give us life. Life so that we can truly say we have never seen anything like this before. And I thank you, oh God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray and ask, Lord, that as I speak this morning, that all that I say, it will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. As I said, as I was meeting with our children, you've kind of got a head start on one of those places that I wanted to start this morning. You know, that imagine the sound that it would be. Imagine the sound, you know, because we have, our children have. They went into the fellowship hall, and they're away from us, and there's a kind of quiet. You know, the singing has come to an end. There's a quiet here. But imagine inside. Doors are blocked, Jesus being in the center. The kind of energy, the kind of excitement that would be in this home, in this space. But as it started to settle down, just listening for that word that maybe Jesus, the center of attention, that word that Jesus would offer. Well, you know that phrase, quiet, and quiet enough to hear a pin drop? Imagine that. And then all of a sudden, the stuff starts to fall from the ceiling. And you know, wondering, you know, did I really see this? You know, it starts to float down a little bit, and wondering, you know, is that really something? And then you start to hear this sound. You know, it's been quiet, and you start to hear this sound, and you think, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a bird. Maybe there's some kind of animal that's on the roof. But then all of a sudden, just parts of the ceiling start to fall down. Parts of the ceiling start to collapse. And then, once again, our children are very quick at that. What happens when there's a hole in the ceiling? One of our girls said it this morning. You can see the people. You know. I mean, all doubts eliminated at this point. And you're looking up and you're able to see. And what's happening? Someone who is unable to walk. Mark's not the only one that tells this story, by the way. You can find this story in the Gospel of Luke as well, but Mark, he gives us our oldest version. He gives us our first version of it. It's a man who's paralyzed, unable to walk, not a full medical diagnosis, but we do know this. He had to rely on his friends, well, in ways that maybe we've not really fully thought about. He had to rely on his friends to carry him, and they lowered him down there. But imagine no sound at all. Imagine if the roof stays exactly the same. Imagine if the crowd is nice and polite and there's no shoving, there's no shouting, there's no pushing with elbows, there's no stepping on each other's feet. Imagine if there's no sound at all in that house. You know, people have been able to come in. People have been able to gather around Jesus. Even some sick have been able to come in and they've been able to be healed by Jesus. But imagine if there's nothing that happens outside. Nothing that happens on top of the roof. Nothing that happens on top of the ceiling. Well, Jesus will tell this story also about a man who was named Levi, who was sitting at a tax collection booth, and Jesus just happened to pass by. And to Levi, Jesus said, "I want you to come, and I want you to follow me." And Levi does follow Jesus, but he also says, "I want you, Jesus, to come to my house. I want you, Jesus, to experience. I want to invite some friends. I want to invite some other people into my house. I want to have a great banquet for you. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but I want to celebrate this moment. I want to celebrate what has just happened, and I want you to come over. I want you to come into my house." And some of the people, they began to grumble, and they began to complain, and they began to say to, not Jesus, but to the disciples of Jesus, why does your Messiah, why does your master, why does your teacher, all those words that get attached to Jesus, why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? Those were the friends of Levi. Those are the friends that Levi had known. And Jesus says, "Well, you know, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And then Jesus will follow that up. "I've come not to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance." Jesus comes for those people who are sick. It gets messy. Roofs get destroyed in the process. Friends take matters into their own hands and decide that they're going to climb on top. They're going to find that ladder. And they're going to climb on top of the roof, and they're going to tear the roof off. Even those who are late to the meeting, even those who didn't beat the rush and didn't beat the crowds, their friends are going to make sure that, well, even after all the good seats have been taken, after the door's been blocked, they're going to make sure that their friend gets there and has an opportunity to be face to face with Jesus. What happens when we become those kinds of people? What happens when we become the kind of disciples? This is what Jesus says at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says that you are to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. It's Jesus' last words. We pay attention in those last words that people speak to us. But what happens when us, people who have heard that call of Jesus to become a disciple, have sought to follow Jesus in the pathway and the footsteps on our own spiritual lives of becoming disciples of Jesus Christ? What happens when we become the kind of disciples at Grace Point who say that no matter what happens, God's healing is for everyone? Now, I will tell you that I served in a church one time that had a flat, well, more than one time, but this one. I served in a church that had a flat roof. Now, there was a third-story window so you could go up. You could go up to the walking track, and you could look out of that window, and you could look over on this flat roof, and you could see in the very corner on this flat roof, you could see the water that would sit there, and it would puddle up in the corner of a flat roof, and it would just stay there. And you know what happens when water stays and when it sits on top of a flat roof? It begins to seep. And it begins to come. And it begins to come, that puddle doesn't just stay a puddle, but it seeps in and it comes in, and sometimes comes in really fast into the rooms that are below. I will tell you, I'm not a fan, well, you've probably already gathered that, but I'm not a fan of flat roofs. I'm not a fan of having to call trustees and say, you know what, this leak needs to stop, well, right now. I don't want to have those conversations. I don't like doing that. So I will say this, I am not a fan of tearing roofs off churches, because, once again, our children remind us, without the roof, we get wet when it starts to rain. But I do know that roofs are going to leak. I do know that there are going to be times when the entire roof has to be torn up and it has to be replaced. I know that the wood has to be replaced underneath it, just as our own gymnasium has experienced when the roof's been torn apart by tornadoes and storms. But what would happen? What would happen if we took a bold first step and made it unnecessary for roofs to have to be torn off? Because it would be so redundant for us to tear the roof off of the church. Imagine the Grace Point way that would become to make sure that there is always room, to imagine spaces for people who aren't already here, to remember that it's by God's grace that we even have roofs to start with. What would happen if we made sure that our doors in our church swung so wide open for all people to imagine that everyone had room to come into a space like this, to imagine that everyone had a possibility to be in a place where they could connect with God's grace and even connect with God's healing? You know, this Thursday is going to be, it's going to be the first day of school for many children that are around us. In fact, in this space on Wednesday night, we're going to gather at 6:30, and from 6:30 to 7, everybody that's responsible for this knows this. We are going to end at 7 o'clock, because at 7 o'clock on the night before the first day of school, there are a lot of things that parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles need to do and to get ready for children on the very first day of school. But we're going to gather here, and we're going to pray. Now, the next Sunday, because That can be kind of difficult. The next Sunday, we're going to invite them to come in as they were coming in this morning. I don't know if any of y'all picked up on it, but our children were extraordinarily energized this morning. There was a lot of energy and excitement to be at Grace Point this morning. So if you feel that maybe you don't have that kind of pep in your step this morning, get around them. My name tag that is all squiggly lines was written by one of our children. Your name is going to be squiggly lines today. That's what I was told. I said thank you, and realized that the energy I thought I brought this morning was not near high enough. And so I raised my energy a little bit too. So that's what's going to happen on Sunday morning. We're going to invite them to come in, wear their backpacks. We're all going to have a chance to sit with them and bless them. But God's brought us to a place on Wednesday night, and so we've got an opportunity to sing a couple of songs and pray with our children on Wednesday night. But again, 6:30 to 7 o'clock. And then on Thursday morning, a few of us, just a couple of us, so a coffee shop that's here in Gardendale, it's called Santos Coffee, from 9:30 to 10:30. If you come to that coffee shop, thanks to the generosity of some folks that are around here, you're going to be able to have a free cup of coffee. Now that's first day of school. Kids are already in school. But what we've done is reached out to some of the parents around us and said, you know, first days can be a little bit tough for parents too. And I will tell you that I know in my oldest children that it was not a happy morning for us, because I can remember being in Gadsden, and I can remember as United Methodist pastors are often done, I finished with seminary, and I was told Gadsden probably be a good place for you to serve right now. And so I went to Gadsden. I was an associate pastor there. And so Anna started kindergarten. Never been in school before. And Thomas started preschool. And so Liz and I had taken because we were thinking about the repercussions of what that could do to us at the time. And so we were both taking a couple of hours off that morning like that. So we dropped them both off, Anna first, and then we dropped Thomas off at preschool. And we went into a brand new coffee shop. It's a coffee shop we'd never been to before. As soon as we opened the door, we saw two people from this fairly new church that we were going to. And they said, "Oh, are y'all here to cry about your kids too?" And we said, "Yeah, we are." And so this is where this invitation to have a cup of coffee on the first day of school, this is where this comes from. But those people that had said that to Liz and I as we came into that coffee shop and asked if we were there to cry over our kids too, they tore a roof off of a part of our hearts that we were probably trying to keep guarded, trying to keep to ourselves that morning. And they cried with us. So sometimes the roofs that get torn off, well, we may not know they even need to be torn off in the first place. Thanks be to God that God puts us with friends in our own lives that help us to see that. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you, oh God, for the people who love us and the people who care for us. We thank you for the people who carry us at times in our lives. And Lord, let us make sure, as your disciples, as your people, let us, Lord, make sure as people at Grace Point, that we do let doors swing wide open, that we do carry folks who, Lord, need your healing. And that we make sure, oh God, that nothing stands between your healing and your call. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And it is with that invitation of Jesus that God's grace and God's mercy, that they are available to all people, all times and all places. That's the invitation.